one in this world is born under the influence of desire and hate. Good. So love and hate are kind of natural sentiments in this world. Everyone's got it. Right? I hate Mondays, for example. I don't know what you think about Mondays, but I hate them. Like that, everyone's got something they hate and something they love. It's quite obvious, right? So that's the first principle, is where love is everywhere. People, they love things, you know. They love places. But more than that, they love people. They love other people the most. You know, people get all sentimental when it's about mom and dad and things like that. Love is there in this world. Is there love free from hate in the world? Does it even exist? Is there any relationship? There may be some love, but is there a relationship free from hate? It's not so easy. Even a little bit, you know. God, I just hate the way he leaves his socks lying around. Or I hate the way she does this and that. So in the world, love and hate come together. That's the point of the Gita. So in that light, the perfect soulmate, if you think that somewhere around the corner, you know, there is Cinderella or something, or, you know, I've never met Cinderella yet, you know, I'm sorry, or some prince on a white horse. Who has a horse these days? Who can even afford it, you know? So these things are kind of... They more exist on the level of our desire. We desire it like that. We desire the fairy tale perfection. But where is it in real life? Real life, you got to do with the best there is. That's more or less how it is. So whenever I see something like the perfect soulmate and exploding hearts, then you think, yeah, today it's going to be all rosy and so on, and tomorrow it's going to be something else. It said about falling in love, you meet a new person and this person looks so full of amazing qualities, looks entirely like an ocean. After a little while, you walk around that ocean, find out it's only a pond, and you could never bother seeing that person again. Right? What can be said? A lot happens in the mind. It all happens in the mind. Dream in the mind of what we want, and then we project our dreams on reality. Yeah? But reality is not like what... It has nothing to do with that dream. Sometimes it looks like it's happening, and other times it doesn't. And then, you know, after a while you sort of... old people... Well, mostly come to terms with that, you know. Just wait a while. It's like, shit. So, love, where to look for the perfect soulmate? And love, is it? It is possible. It is. Well, surely, you know, that's the best quality we have. So, can we rise above? First of all, can we ourselves develop it? Before we talk about relationships, what about us? It begins with ourselves. If we are not full of love, how can you expect a relationship which is full of love? It won't work. Not possible. Only for those who are themselves full of love and free from hate, only they can become perfect soulmates. No one else. So you can look in the world. So if you think, like, you know, every pot has its lid, you know, everyone has his perfect counterpart. There is one person in the world you know, just somewhere around there, and that's the one for you, right? You know that one? That's rubbish.
She doesn't bring any tissues. Yeah.
I'm sorry to bring that up, but that's rubbish. It doesn't exist. It doesn't go like that at all, right? Ask your grandmother. She'll tell you. It's not entirely like that at all. It's give and take, right? The same old give and take. So on the material plane, as the paper blows away, love, is it possible? It flew away in the wind. What to do? Is it possible? Only when you are spiritually realized can you have pure love. Only then, when you see that there's another world in this world, an eternal world where we belong and where everybody belongs, then you can develop loving relationships together. Then you can have a world free of hate. Otherwise, you know, what do you do in this world? Everybody's seen enough hate in the world. Yeah? So this one hates that one. So these kind of people hate the people from over the hill, you know, or people that speak another language, not to speak of race or all these things. Enough hate in the world. So that's what we have to get rid of. Not the kind of love, I love my dog, I love my little turf, you know, what is in between my wall and the rest of the world, I hate. What's that? That's not love, you know. We're sitting here like, you know, lovey-dovey, baby-baby, coochie-coo, you horrible monster of the neighbors, go away. Yeah? Out. Huh? No, so love means all-inclusive. It means we have to be all-inclusive. When love goes together with hate, it's not love. And that hate will have to find another outlet, you see. Today, you can have a relationship with someone and it be all love and the hate is for the neighbors. But it will change. One day, the love will be for the neighbors and the hate will be for in your relationship. And then it's like furniture starts flying. I hate you. And this is a picture of your that we got for our wedding from your grandmother. Crash. This vase that I always hated was given to us by your auntie. Break the hate. Yeah. Or so many other things. So true relationships begin where we ourselves become pure, free from hate. What is this hate anyway? Like, for example, I hate it when planes fly over. I do. But that's a little hypocrite because I came here in a plane. You know, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for planes. So how can I hate planes today when yesterday I was flying in? So that's, you can see, it's double relationship. It will always be like that when our love is connected to things of this world, because this world is like that. Yeah, see, the plane has a good side to it that it brings me here, which is nice. It has a bad side to it that it makes a lot of noise. For example, a few other bad sides I can think of too. So good and bad is always part of the package. Therefore, when your love is directed to anything material, there will also be hate. That's the nature. Yeah? And then, you know, yeah. Oh, you're so beautiful. So beautiful. I love you, right? Because you're beauty. But how long will that beauty last? After some times, you know. After some times, the nose and the chin grow closer. With time. Yeah? There was a movie called Shangri-La, yeah? And it's a story about a valley in the Himalayas somewhere, and there are these people, they live there, and they always stay young and beautiful. And there's this one man, he goes into the mountains, and by accident, he walks into this valley, and the people are receiving him, and everything is wonderful. But, you know, after a little while, he gets a little homesick. He thinks, like, about the people he left behind and things. I would like to visit them one time and tell them about this amazing place. If only I could tell the world. So he decides to leave Shangri-La. And then he goes out of the valley. And as he comes out of the valley, the aging that didn't happen to him all this time that he was there, it suddenly happens to him. And you see him, like, all these lines come on his face, and like he gets like old in 10 seconds, sort of like, or in 1 minute. And it's like scary. Same thing happens to us. Right? Just take a picture of yourself once a month and then put them all next to each other. After a while, you sort of bags start growing. Hair start growing where they shouldn't be growing. All kinds of things. That's old age. What shall we say? So do we love? Your beautiful princess has just turned old. Now what? Still love?
Tolerate.
You tolerate it. But then there's this other beautiful young girl moving in next door. And the mind starts to wonder. So, like this. And then he goes with that girl next door. And you'll still love him after that, the rat. You can see how the world is a scenario which is full of elements that we don't want. We want to be eternally beautiful. We want to be eternally young. That's only possible in the spiritual world. None here. So our desire has its roots in the spiritual world. And therefore, what we are looking for in this world, it's not available in this world. It's available in the spiritual world. True love is available on the spiritual plane. That's where it's possible. Free from hate. Not here. And that's, of course, what we're talking about. That doesn't mean that you can't have relationships in this world. You can. But if you think that they are the all-in-all, then you're dreaming. That's illusion. Oh God, I'm making somebody, I hope I don't make anybody cry. It's not like that, because the spiritual world is wonderful. The spiritual world is, everything is blissful, everything is pleasant. A spiritual body is full of pleasure. It's not like, oh, my back. Oh, nothing like that. Or it's too hot, or too this, or too that. The spiritual world is blissful. And it's increasingly so. So that's where real love belongs. So even while we're here, when we go deeper, we can begin to perceive the spiritual reality already. Because behind everything here, it's there. It's actually there. There's more than this world. So that's where love has to take us. It has to take us to the spiritual platform. Now, maybe it's already time for questions, isn't it, Mahasi Gandhi? Because we are short of time. Maybe.
Does anybody have some questions or something? You can write something down. Or something that you came in your mind with. You know, that you want.
Okay, let's see what you got. That's a good start. That's it.
Does soulmate exist?
Okay. Does sex compromise the love in the relationship, and how? Okay. Sex is... it's about satisfying our desire. That's the thing. So, therefore, lust, on the basis of sex life, lust is selfish. Lust is about me. Yeah? Lust is about my desires. So you work for me. And then you can try and take that to another level. There is sex which exists on a level where there is no emotional affection. It's just bodily exchange. Then it's obviously gross lust. Then there's sex on another level when there is mutual affection. Then that sex seems to become more than just self-centered. It seems to be also aimed at sharing, sharing happiness. And then it seems like of a higher nature. But, you know, is it really completely free from selfishness? You see these kind of movies, you know, where the guy goes into the war and they love each other so much, and then he comes back and then his face is injured. And then after it doesn't, like, after they try to get back together and it just doesn't work anymore. And it just, they can't do it anymore. And they move on. So, yeah, sex does compromise the love, because it's lust. There is a selfish element, right? In a gross form and maybe less gross form, like a discard, but it is there. Selfishness is there. And true love is selfless. Okay? If you see that, like, more, if I jump to question number 3, does family love ever turn sour? Then you see, like, mothers, you know, who will, like, give everything for their children, right? So that's very selfless kind of. Kind of sacrificing for the happiness of another. That's higher in a way. But difficult, again, to have that pure also, because then many family members, you know, they are not so selfless with their kids either. They want their kids to become what they never were. We never had the chance to study, and ever thou shalt study until thou dies. You know, but we don't want to study. You ungrateful wretch. We have sacrificed everything for you. So again, there's elements of force there, which are also not always based on love. There's also selfishness coming. So everywhere. You know, in the world, love in the world is, there's always an element of selfishness, and that's why we don't consider it really pure. Yeah. Can you ever truly love someone in a romantic way? For a while. Full moon, hand in hand, on a little boat, on a beautiful lake. With lotus flowers. For a while. Some soft music playing, everything on the iPhone. Yeah? So it looks very romantic for a while. But then it gets down to real life, you know, where he sits in front of the TV watching the sport in his undershirt, scratching his belly, right? Things like that, where she walks around, like, with her, you know, when her hair doesn't look so good. There's this advertisement about a model named Cindy Crawford. I don't know Cindy Crawford from Adam or Eve, but she's supposed to be extremely famous, right? Maybe you know Cindy Crawford. Anyway, there is a advertisement which says, even Cindy Crawford doesn't look like Cindy Crawford in the morning.
Right? And therefore she is beauty queen.
So romance is like that. It's for a while. It stays for a while. Right? You know, after all, half of it is makeup. No, I was just looking that way, and she's just putting the lipstick. You know, I couldn't resist it. Sorry for that. It's just a setup, you know. Just talking about beauty cream. I was like, I had to play that ball. So, does a soulmate exist? No, I don't think so. You may find that certain people are having a character that suits yours, but you may find it's not just one. You may find there's more than one in this world. When do you know you've found the perfect love? Then you love life, right? Then you love everything about your life. Then it's a perfect life. Then you're satisfied, fulfilled. Yeah? That's perfect love. But as long as you're not fulfilled, as long as you're sort of thinking like, yeah, then not satisfied. Then it's not perfect. Is it possible to love someone for the first time you see them? Yeah, these things are going on. Right? Maybe some intuitive attraction. But will it last for a lifetime? That's, you know, for a lifetime... for a lifetime you have to conquer someone. Yeah? In relationships, you can first take things for granted. Yeah? You can sort of... Someone may look attractive, but the essence is in relationships. You have to conquer the other person by doing so, by going out of your way for them. Then you get, you know, like you don't love your parents just because they're your parents. You love them because they've done so much for you. You know? That's why they've conquered you by what they did for you. It's not like, oh, no, these are your parents. Oh, okay, then I love them. No, it's because they did a lot for you. That's why. And if they didn't do anything for you, you don't love them. Yeah? For example, you have cases where the child was given away at the time of after birth, the mother was alone, child was adopted somewhere, then later they meet their biological mother. But then that relationship is not there. And there's no love. Mm-hmm. This is your mother, okay, that's my mother. But no love. Mm-hmm. Because, so in relationships, there may be love at first sight, some sort of hope that this person really looks like the one I've been looking for. But unless you conquer in relationships, by going out of your way for someone else, otherwise the love will die over time. And to really going out of your way for someone else... it's difficult when you stay on the material platform. You only see that really in spiritually realized persons. So to keep on conquering others' heart is practically not possible for a materialist. Next one. So keep on writing your questions because I'm flying through them too fast. Is it possible that in order to hate another person, there's a bit of love for that person? Whether it is admiration or you envy them, or maybe there's a connection between the two of you, whether good or bad. Yeah, there is. Like, if you envy someone, then that person has a quality that you would like to have. Yeah? So there's something you like in that person. It's just that you don't have it. Yeah? They have it, you know. So that's sort of like, it irks, right? Gosh, you know, why them? You know, what do they do? Yeah? So that's how So there is a relationship between love and hate. Right? You also have people, they don't touch you at all. Right? You don't even notice them. The faceless people. They walk past and you can't even remember what they look like. They didn't impress you. They didn't touch you. But so people who touch you with envy, with hate, they have something that you would like to have. Mm. But envy, of course, is hate. It manifests in so many ways, you know. It's like there was a wolf and he was drinking water in a stream. And then this little lamb came and also started to drink from the water. So this wolf says, "Hey, you dirty little lamb, how dare you stick your filthy snout in my water?" "No, Mr. Wolf, it's no problem at all because I'm drinking downstream from you." Now look at that. First you stick your filthy nose in my water and next you give me lip as well. No. And last year you did the same. "No, Mr. Wolf, it couldn't be me because last year I hadn't taken birth yet." "Now it's enough, you know. For this I'll eat you." Right? So that's also envy. That we don't let people exist. That's envy. That we don't give them any space to be. Yeah? I can say, you can live, but you cannot breathe. Yeah? "But how is it possible? I have to breathe." Yeah? No. "You can live, but you cannot breathe." Yeah? "Sorry. You can't use any air here." Yeah? I mean, so I let you, so I'm so liberal, I let you live, but the truth is I don't let you exist. So this kind of envy is a type of, it's almost passive hate, and where you just don't allow people to exist. And of course, well, apartheid has a flavor of that also. Right? Just don't give people a life. Right? So that's all envy. There's more active hate, where you outright try to destroy someone, poison them, kill them. That's again. But it's true. The other side of the coin is love. Like I have a friend who is he grew up in a heavy township and on the Cape, and then during the apartheid time. He was one day going in a forbidden area, so he couldn't, and he's just full of hate. And he said, and then he came past this swimming pool, and he saw all these white bodies, and he had a vision of a machine gun for a moment, right? For a moment he just thought like, let's mow it all. And then he was saying, no, I cannot go down to that level and answer hate with hate. And then later he became like a literary terrorist, writing literary books, and his biographies got him with dreads like that and a machine gun earring. It's a good biography. So what to say? In the material world there will be love and hate. It will be. One can not rise above. They're for devotees, huh? Devotees are trying to rise above. But we are also not immediately free from that. It will take time, you know? I mean, you can wear the costume, you can put a turban, but that doesn't mean that suddenly you're perfect. You can spend 34 years, you can sit on a cushion, but that doesn't mean that you're just completely full of love. That's a very big thing, but that's what we really should be. You know, we should be full of love for everyone, right? Everyone in the world, every living being. Why not? Yeah. And that's what you see in great personalities. And that's what we are aiming at. And when you you know, no one can harm you. What can they do to you? Then you can try and be free from hate. Because, like Bhagavad Gita says, the soul cannot be cut to pieces, soul cannot be burned, soul cannot be drowned, soul cannot be harmed in any way. If you really believe it, then what you got to worry? But it's not so easy. I have experience because may as well bring it up again to bring a little more life in the talk, that like one time in 1995 I was in the shower and suddenly bang, a loud bang, and a bullet hit me in the back and came out in the front. It's interesting experience, and I can recommend it. it really kind of brings a lot of new realizations, you can say. And I was in the hospital. About 2 weeks later, I was conscious again, and I was sort of just hooked off of the... I was just out of the intensive care and things. And then I started thinking about it, and I was thinking, now I could do two things, you know. Now I can think about who did this. Yeah? Who did this? But then I was remembering something from the Bhagavatam. And in the Bhagavatam there's a story how there was Dharma. And Dharma was attacked by Kali. And Kali broke the legs of Dharma with a stick. And as the legs of Dharma were broken, just then, the king arrived, sword raised, and he was ready to take... Who did this? Just ask. So all Dharma had to say, him, yeah, him. But Dharma didn't do that. Dharma said, it's hard to say who did this. It's hard to say what is the cause that my legs are broken now. It could be that it's the result of my own action. It could be the will of God. It could be just destiny. Yeah? In this way, he's saying, it's hard to say what is the cause that this happened to me. Although the person who did it stood right next to him. So when I was shot, I was remembering that. And I was thinking, yes, if I start now thinking about who did this, then I get in a mood of revenge. And then I'll go down in a low consciousness of hate. Yeah? Then I'll be driven by hate. I'll get those guys. And therefore I chose no. I chose for ultimately behind everything is the Supreme Lord. He let it happen. So it's part of His plan. So let's just take it and try and learn a lesson from it. Yeah. So that's what I tried to do. Yeah. So in this way, I managed to overcome the tendency towards hate by making an intellectual adjustment. Yeah. So that's one level of rising above hate. Another level of rising above hate is really like, is really from the heart, just being full of love for others. That's something else, again. That's another level. What can we say about that? Work in progress. Work in progress. Trying to get there. That's all we can say. So we're not claiming that we're so great and so full of love, but we believe that it's possible, and we believe that it is something we should try. We should try to get there. And if you want on the way some worldly romance, that's okay. You can have some romance in this world, right? But that's not the all in all. It's nice, you know, two people, hand in hand, full of love, wall around them, big dogs, and, you know, away with the world. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about all inclusive towards everyone. That's what we're talking about. Okay, I finished your written questions, so it's time for a live question.
There's more.
Oh. Just finish my plane and then. See the flies now. I think it does.
You can fly it to Sydney, man. It's just in the background.
Oh, it's
going to the roof.
Crash landing. Crash landing. Okay, we'll try again. Ah, again. We need to adjust the nose a little.
Oh!
Good shot. Thanks. I hope your eye is still in there.
Yeah, keep it.
I'll keep it, yeah. It's
you mean it's dangerous?
<in my head. laughs>
Sorry about that. One. How will you discern with whom to have sex, romantic relationship, if you love everyone equally? Uh-huh. Yeah, then you can have sex with everyone equally. the more you get involved with real love, the more lust is no longer such an issue. It disappears. It just, the more you get preoccupied with really being the well-wisher of everyone, the less sex begins to play a part in your life. So the more you are influenced by lust, the more sex, the more you want to have sex with everyone. So love and sex are, in a way, opposites.
Wow.
Mm. Are you married? And if you were, why aren't you now? I see. Once upon a time, when I was a young man, I had my days, and somehow or other, she talked me into it, and I did it. I got married, and then it was all right. We did fine, but we were a good match, you know. She was tough, but I was tougher. So it was okay. That was just that. I got into seeing that there was more than just that. Right? A man and a woman, I could see that that's part of life, but I could also see there was more. And I wanted something greater with my life than just that. So I got into spiritual life. And then we were in spiritual life together for a long time. And then we're both growing old, you know. Okay. Here we sit, hand in hand, bone in bone. You know? Is this it, you know? And again, 88 and still loving each other. Yeah, like anything.
Well, you know, so romantic.
Drooling. So, I just, at one point I said, I'm getting too old for this stuff. I'm getting out of here. Now it's the time for just spiritual love. I told her all about it, and one day I left home and I took sannyas, a life to be free for spiritual life. And I must say, it's bigger. It's just a bigger level of inspiration. And this part of my life is the best part of my life, I gotta say honestly. Although the other part was okay, and my former wife was okay, but still, this is better. Okay. A friend is in this situation. Her boyfriend passed on. And recently, the friend's friend or the past boyfriend is interested in my friend. My friend is in love with her. That I know, but the question my friend keeps on asking is must I move on with my past boyfriend's friend? Gee whiz, you know. Or must she respect her past boyfriend? Please help. He's crazy in love with her. No wonder, I would be crazy too. That's a complicated situation. Personally, I think life is simple for the simple. And this sounds not simple to me. If you ask me, whoever is involved in this situation makes matters of love too complicated. You know, the friend of my friend, of my boyfriend's friend, is friendly with, you know, all the friendly people that are. It's. I think you gotta make choices in life. No. I wasn't thinking it was. I'm sorry. It's just my neck. Yesterday, I came on a long flight and I got a stiff neck from the flight. And every once in a while, I want to turn it a bit. That was all it was. No, but it's. The question is appreciated, but I would have to see it in a table, you know. I mean, sort of like friend. Maybe then I could figure it out. I mean, if it's all text, I mean, there's too many friends, and boyfriends, and God, I mean.
All right.
Can I try and simplify? But I think I get it a bit. Couple. Boyfriend dies. Friend of the boyfriend wants the girl.
Yeah. Does the girl want him also?
Yeah.
She thinks he really loves her.
She thinks who really loves her?
The friend of the deceased.
Yeah, well, so what's wrong with that?
You get the answer.
You know, move on, you know, move okay. on. Okay. You know, you can't stay in the past forever, right? But one day maybe you'll find that all this loving this one and loving that one, etc., you may find that that's not the all in all. And you just realize this is actually an overrated part in my life. Yeah? And I made too much out of it when I was young. Now that I'm a little more mature, I see the bigger picture. And in the bigger picture, I see, okay, you may have a partner or you may not have a partner. That's fine. But who are you in the world? That is the question. Who are you for everybody? And that's where your real love shows. Yeah? You got all these people sitting in their little houses, you know, with their partners. And it's all so lovey-dovey and so romantic, right? And meanwhile, it brings so much hate in the world. So what good is all that? Yeah? So I'm interested in something bigger. But I thank you for the translation because, this was complicated. I'm sorry I lost track. Friend. I mean, if someone's had a relationship and they're still emotionally involved in the old relationship, then maybe it's not time to immediately start a new one. Take some time to let the old one settle down, the emotional settle down, before jumping in a new one, generally speaking. Do we need the ego in order to advance spiritually? And what's the difference between the ego and the false ego? What is the ego? The false ego is simply selfishness. False ego is simply that the whole world is for me. It's all for me. Right? All these people are for me. Yeah? They're for me. They're for me. I'm the star here. Yeah. It's all about it. It's about me. So that's false ego. As long as we are the center of everything. Right? So everything, he's my friend, he's not my friend, you know, he's my brother, you know? She's my sister, they're strangers, you know what I mean? It's all about me. And I put everything in his place according to me. He is my friend because he gives me a lot of money. I like him a lot. But not as much as I used to, because he gives me less than before. it's all selfish, all selfish, me in the center. So that's false ego, when you put yourself in the center. But when we see ourselves as servant of Krishna and servant of everybody, that's pure ego that we need. That's spiritual. Say, we are servant. I'm servant of everybody. Yeah, ultimately servant of God, and he's the well-wisher of everyone. Then I'm also the well-wisher of everyone. For everyone. That's tough. It can be done. It can be done. Of course, with some people a little more careful, well-wisher. Okay. I'm your well-wisher. Not good. Huh? Not good. Sorry for the attack with the bomber.
It's cool. Is there a point to pursuing romantic relationships? I mean, what's the gratification? What's the big thing?
Well, I mean, it's all part of a scheme, like having children, mm. getting romantic, having family, and then staying together, and then bringing up the kid together, and loving the kid, right? And, you know, everybody loves everything. Mom loves dad, dad loves mom, and both love the kids, and, you know, and it's all like... I'm sure you get... That's supposed to be... A healthy family and healthy family life. So the whole romance thing is actually part of that. And so for those who desire that, who want to get into all that, they can do. And then it makes sense. Like he's a brahmachari, and you know, he's like, doesn't want to know about these things, isn't it? Forget it, you know. It's like romance, you know. Isn't it? What do you think about romance?
On the spot.
Wow. You're asking me. It's been superficial.
Romance is superficial.
Yeah. I got a question.
Can I ask?
I've got a question. Can I just ask it?
If it's related, yeah.
Yeah, it's sort of, it is, I guess. The question is, currently, like from my observation, I've seen that the line is becoming a bit blurry. Women want to be worshipped. You need to tell them they're an angel, you know. You need to sing praises to them, worship them, and all that stuff. And then, if you're into spiritual life now, like, how do you clarify to say, no, I can only worship God, or I can only chant praises to God, we should be mutual in this thing. I shouldn't tell you they're an angel. I shouldn't lie to you. I have to convince you otherwise. How do we clarify or seek balance between the two?
Okay. I think there's a discussion on for me. I have a feeling that she wants to say something about
me. I don't think she wants to be worshipped more than as for an angel. Yeah. An angel is seen as something pure, yeah. Something good, something beautiful. So she wants to be that special. Not to be worshipped. She wants to be compared to something like that.
Treated like an angel.
Yeah, you know, and it's...
What is the method it should be?
Honestly speaking, I think it takes two to tango.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It takes two to get to tango, because it's not only that she wants to be called angel and worship, and he wants something too. It takes two to tango. But so what do you do now in spiritual? Yeah, it's just that you understand that it's not, it's fine, you know, you can call each other angel, yeah, and all the other sweet names that you have, you know, that you sometimes hear. But it's not the all in all. It's just, okay, it's part of life. If you can't be alone, if you have such a strong need for being with someone else, go for it. And it will bring many extra things into your life. Once you get a partner, whoa, so many things you have to change suddenly. You know, when you're alone, life is simple, and you have a relationship, boy, oh boy, start looking at your needs. So don't get lost in that relationship as the all in all. Have it or don't, but understand there's a bigger world out there, and that you still have to do something in that bigger world. Yeah? It's like when people ask me about sex, right? Then all I can say, it's overrated. You know, we're living in an oversexed world where sex is made into something so big. Yeah. It's obviously part of our existence, right? But it's not everything. In the same way, you know, love, angel, and everything. Very nice, but it's also not the all in all. It's can be there. Even if someone calls you angel, right? Even if the guy calls the girl angel, it's not going to be enough, you know. So the ladies have to rise above this this desire to be the most important in the man's life. See, in a relationship, that's what a woman wants. She wants to be, and not only that you say it, but that you mean it. That there's nothing more important to you than her. That's what she wants. But even when you get that, you won't be happy. Because there ain't no man in this world that can satisfy a woman. They don't exist. Sorry to say.
Only in the movies.
Only in the movies. Man, believe me, if you didn't know it yet, men are useless. Now I get all the questions. Okay, him first, you're second. Yes, you too. No. Okay, yes.
All right. Let's say a certain someone who was married for X amount of years, had dreams, you know, a vision for the future with this other person, then they decide to devote their life to God. And they say that person decides, let's say, to be celibate and just dedicate their whole, you know, become a monk, whatever. What isn't that in its own, like, chasing spirituality, or let's say finding that vision of spirituality, sort of selfish on its own? Because what are you expecting that person to do with those dreams, those plans you had?
Sure.
With each other. So
yeah, in the beginning, this spiritual pursuit can also be selfish, but you have to fill that in also, the spiritual thing, by giving. Real spiritual life is just not about me being so spiritual, but putting myself in the service of others by trying to be a well-wisher to others. So help others. And when you give your whole life to that, yeah, a person who gives his life to the well-being of others, that person becomes very spiritual. Whereas the person who wants to become very spiritual for him or herself, that person, and even goes to celibate or yoga or this or that, you know, that person is still selfish. But if you dedicate your life to the well-being of others, then you become spiritually very elevated. And then you lose all selfishness.
My question is now, it's good that you're doing for yourself and obviously to the service of God, but like in the long run, it's very beautiful, it benefits everyone, you know, you're this better person, you're happier, you're more connected. But then what happens to the people around you who, like...
In my case, you know, I had a wife. I left the wife, and now the whole world is my family. Now I can sit here. Now I can give my energy to other people. You know, before I couldn't do it. It's putting all the energy in that one relationship. Now I've got thousands of relationships with so many people, right? So I've made myself free from one relationship for entering into many and trying to give myself in many. Maybe I give less energy into all these relationships than I would in that one, but at the same time, I'm trying to give everyone spiritual knowledge. In that way, what I'm getting back is also spiritual mercy. It's a greater thing. So for the sake of accepting the whole world as our family, we leave our family. It's called Vasudeva Kutumbakam. The whole world becomes your family. So we renounce our own family to embrace the whole world as our family. That's sannyas. That means giving up family life. Then you can do it. Otherwise it's selfish. Your turn.
Loud. We were talking about love and hate earlier. When do you know that love is healthy? When, whether a friend or a partner or a family member, when they hurt you over and over again, when they disappoint you over and over again, you can never have space for hate for them. You always just seem to love them even more every time they do something to you. Is that healthy love?
Well, it's material love. So material love always has a shadow side, like I said before. Many people love their family and hate them at the same time. Yeah? You know, it's like that. Yeah? Because in one way they do things for you, they've done things for you, in another way they suffocate you because they don't want to let you be what you want to be. So... ultimately, in all material relationships, you'll find these things, these elements, love and hate, both. That's why they say, next to it, have it, right?
What if you can't hate the person?
If you can't hate them.
No matter how much they hate you.
But maybe you are in denial. What is hate, you know what I mean? Is it that you say I hate you, or is it just that they annoy you? Yeah? Where does it begin, hate? Yeah, like my brother always annoyed me. He was nice, he was my brother, but he also annoyed me. He always did things, you know, like he always cried. God, did he cry? He was touching me all the time. Cry and cry. Cry, baby. Too much, you know. Just like brought the bad side out of me. Yeah, she cried too much, and it felt like making me cry even more. Okay, you want to cry, then you can't cry. So this goes on in every family. So how can you say that they get on your nerves sometimes? No, nobody ever gets on your nerves. If nobody ever gets on your nerves, then you really must be an angel.
But this one person really doesn't.
I tell you, she's an angel, you know.
Okay.
Wow. All right, yeah.
No, on a more subtle level, it's there. Some root of hate. Real love is very deep. Your turn.
Okay, I'm not talking about romantic love. Say love between parents and child or something like that. And the parent was abusive. Okay, but let's take it like this. That the child is seeking to live a life of spirituality and community with other people. Okay? But obviously he's not there yet. But now say somebody would come to, and I don't want to say your level, because even you, Nana, said, I mean, you're not on any level. Every day is just every day, and you are taking every day as a parent to help people. So I know you acknowledge that about yourself, but say somebody on your dedication level of being spiritual, does hatred for somebody who hurt you vanish at some point? And I mean, say you tap into the love of God, you would see God in every person, because even evil people have God in to a certain degree.
Yeah.
God is in everyone. But then what if you can see God in that person that abused you? You can see a level of God, and you love that part of God. Is it bad to then hate the other part of that person? And I know that by virtue of hating, it's already a material thing, and I know it's a material thing, because say that person hurt you physically, that is a material thing. So yes, you are hating him because they hurt you in the physical plane, but then how can somebody be worthy of your love if they are on a level of wanting to hurt you, even if it is in a physical plane? Isn't that spiritual as well?
Yeah.
I mean,
why would we hate?
Love that person?
Why would we hate? You know, even if someone tried to harm us, only can think that somehow or other this person is bewildered. Right? I don't know how it came about that this person became so confused about what to do in life that they tried to hurt. Like, you know, whoever pulled, shot me in the back is, you know, it's something I remember. You know, I mean, it's not something you forget, but. I don't hate these people. I know it was more than one. There were several people involved. I don't hate them. I just think they lost it somewhere, right? They lost. So all my well wishes are with them. I don't wish them a lot of punishment or anything like that, or that they suffer, you know, for what they have done. All that I wish is that they will become elevated above this kind of foolishness. Right? They come to a better consciousness. That's all I desire. And I prayed for that. Yeah? For the rest, I have no bad feelings at all. Yeah? I mean, you know. And I thought about it, what it was in me that brought about such a thing out of people. I mean, and maybe I'm taking what you say from a general situation to a personal situation. But because I went through something like that, you know what I'm saying? So I have some personal experience of that. And in general, yes, why not? Why would we hate? Love doesn't mean that you think everything someone else does is okay, isn't it? You can love someone and still know that they are doing stupid things, foolish things that harm themselves and others. And you can hope to correct them from that. Obviously, the people, you know, people that go around shooting others have a problem. They have a problem. You know, under normal circumstances, you definitely think they have a problem. Right? And it's like a disease. So, why hate the person? But obviously, that madness or those qualities in them are abominable, because they cause a lot of suffering to others. That has to go. Has to go. So no need to hate. 2 minutes to five.
Yeah, we have like time for maybe one.
There's one.
There's a really good question.
Okay, there's
and
a really.
We'll have a little lunch meditation, and then I'll start making up plates. Everyone can eat something.
All right. How do you make your fully materially based partner realize that your union isn't just physical? You have to conquer. You have to conquer that partner, little by little. You can't just tell someone that there's a deeper spiritual dimension, hallelujah. that won't, they won't buy it, you know. You have to take them into an experience of it. Only then, only by conquering. And it may take time, because it depends where they are. If they're, how did you say, fully materially based, a fully materially based partner. But little by little, show how it's, how the vision is better. Just like, you know, this Krishna consciousness little by little began to grow on me. It wasn't like from one day to the next that I got into it, but little by little it made sense. Like, non-violence makes sense to me, because I don't like violence to me either. You know, and it's saying, I don't like it to be done to me. So why would I do it to others? It makes sense in that way. A world where people can coexist without violence. So a lifestyle of non-violence made sense to me. A lifestyle of, a merciful lifestyle. You know, I know I did it wrong. I know I should have done better. But anyway, I blew it, but please give me a break, kind of thing. God, you totally blew it. How could you blow it like that? That's totally stupid. But anyway, I'll give you a break. Right? That's mercy, you know. There's some mercy. When there's no mercy at all. Like, I hate, talk about hate. I hate the modern way that everything is done via a computer online. Because I can't talk to anyone, you know, and it's online, application denied. And I can't talk to a person, you know, and say, please have some mercy, you know, like, I mean, I really have to go, give it, please. Oh my God, can't talk to a computer, you know. Computers have no mercy. I hate it, the modern system, where no more person, you kind of, no appeal to mercy. So, spirituality means mercy. So I like. So in this way, you can only convince your fully materially based partner by showing that person the noble side of spiritual life, of a spiritual conviction. Then gradually that person can become convinced. Your fully materially based partner is just as much as you subjected to the material world, which brings happiness and distress. And how is your fully materially based partner gonna deal with that? Are they gonna be just happy about it? Huh? No, of course not. They're also gonna go through happiness and distress. So, at time of distress, maybe a good time to strike. Yeah? How about this? Yeah. You know? Okay, makes sense.
Yeah.
So everyone, you know, no one is so materially successful, actually. Nobody is materially successful. Some people act as if they are, but behind the facade, they're not. They're not. Therefore, everyone can sooner or later accept a spiritual concept, and that's how you can penetrate. Some people, you know, are like thick like a brick, you know what I mean? It takes a little effort to get through what can be done. You know? It takes a little longer.